Good evening, everybody.
Love Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay from the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my co-hostess Misty Hall and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. So good evening, Misty. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Good evening to you, Bonnie. How are you?
I'm doing good. Tonight, we have to apologize to everybody because we're going to have a shortened show. And that is due to technical difficulties where I live. There's been some electrical problems on my block. And they said they're going to come here at 10:30, and the electricity is going off for at least an hour. So Misty and I are going to try to get in everything we need to in this next half hour, and I apologize to you. It was just a fluky thing that they've had these electrical problems on the block, but we're trying to work with it. So, first of all, I want to say, Misty, I would like to ask you, how are things in Florida today?
Things in Florida are beautiful. The sun is shining. It's cold for Florida. I dare not even say how cold because I know the northerners will scream. But it's good weather. It's breezy outside. Tomorrow I think we're supposed to get to 70, so I really can't complain. It's beautiful here.
Well, I wouldn't really say I'm too jealous of you because we're supposed to get into the 60s here in Philadelphia this week.
Wonderful.
I think. Well, we're definitely in the 50s. And at least, let's see what it says here. Well, 57 on Friday, so that's like 60.
Dang, that is close. That's close. We can round up.
No mosquitoes with it like you have.
Oh, I know. You're right. You're right. And this summer I'll be on fire and you'll be just fine. So then you can turn it around on me.
Exactly. And that's what I will do.
So, turn around the fair play, they say.
So Misty and I would like to wish all of our listeners a very happy Valentine's Day. Because tomorrow is Valentine's Day and we know that this is really a difficult, hard day for many of our women. And Misty, could you talk a little bit about that?
Well, yes. Valentine's Day is just, it's one of those advertised holidays. Thankfully, not as much as I think Christmas is for many people, but Valentine's Day is one of those holidays that many florists and card companies get lots of money on. And basically, it's a holiday for couples, for all of the people that live here in the States. And I think it's ventured up farther, even to Canada, and I'm sure it's around the world in other places too. But anyway, it's a holiday for lovers, for couples, and when you're married to a gay man or a bisexual man, you're probably not feeling the love too much. Or if you have recently gotten out of a gay relationship and can be alone, I mean, these holidays are tough. We always say in this type of situation, which this is a grief-type situation because of the loss, holidays are notoriously tough, especially when you have a holiday like Valentine's Day that is centered around couples and lovers. That's not easy to go through. And, you know, what you and I can do is tell people that, number one, as a straight wife, you will survive. Number two, you can do things that can help you not only survive but thrive. And, you know, all those things lead to loving yourself. I think that's the key. You have to learn to love yourself. I know when I first, you know, when I take myself back, oh, I guess it's about 11 years now of being out of the marriage. When I take myself back even farther, I was still in the marriage, which would be, let's say, 15 years ago. It was horrible. It was a horrible holiday. I remember those holidays. I mean, one, I would either probably cry all day or I'd probably cry myself to sleep because there was no love. There was no intimacy there, and I knew there was none. And, of course, I blamed a lot of that on myself, like many of the women we work with do. And little did I know, because he hadn't told me anything, that the issues were with him. He was gay. I couldn't have been anything other than if I was a man, that, you know, that the holiday would have probably been a little different. So I know those days are rough, and it's tough to get through those, but there's things you can do to make it through. And I think the most important thing you can do, whenever I work with any of the women I work with privately coaching, we start on a self-love plan. It's one of the most important things you can do. And actually, I think the first step to loving yourself is and this sounds so crazy, is locking yourself. Because most women, including myself, when I went through this situation, you know, I was all into affirmations and trying to tell me this stuff, and I would tell myself, oh, I love myself, I love myself, and it never sounded true to me. So what I finally started doing, I would say, okay, I locked myself. That worked for me. I was so far down that I locked myself.
I'm going to give people a list of tips of what they can do, just mm-hmm. exactly to do that, Misty, to work on, you know, feeling better about themselves in just a moment. But I do want to mention to our listening audience that next week we're going to have a very important show, and it's a show I'm really excited about because for a long time now, we've been looking to bring on some, you know, really excellent gay men who can really talk about their feelings and what they went through in their coming out process and to give women a better understanding. So we're going to have two really excellent men, and I was really excited because I did a radio show recently with them for, you know, another hostess, and I asked them if they would be willing to come on. And two of them out of the three said yes. And one is Joe Knutson. And Joe has a really, you know, compelling story to talk about as far as, you know, his experience of being married and being part of the ex-gay movement and fighting for years with himself. And the other is Russell Cook, who also, he never married, but he certainly dated women before he came to terms that, you know, he's not going to keep doing this. And both of them are really excellent guests, so we hope that you'll be tuning in next week for that show. And I think that they'll share a lot of their insights with us and help us have a better understanding of the situation. Sometimes I think we need to add some, you know, balance on this end because so many of us have been hurt so badly by our ex-husbands, but, you know, not every ex-husband is that way, or every gay man, and we like to certainly share those insights to give people a better understanding. So that's next Sunday night on the 20th, and we're really excited that we'll have our two guests there. But going back to what Misty was saying, learning to like yourself before you can learn yourself, and here's some tips that, you know, I think, Misty, I'll ask for your insight on these, of, you know, from an article on how to love yourself, on what they suggest, that it says, first, ask for a list of things that people like about you. Sometimes it can be hard, you know, hard to find things that we like or love about ourselves. So ask other people to tell you all the things they like about you. Ask a friend, ask a lover, ask a therapist. This isn't a replacement for your own love. It's a first step in learning to love yourself. You may need to hear the things other people like about you before you can value them in yourself. If hearing what people like about you is hard, ask your friends to write it down for you or leave it on your voicemail so you can read or listen to it and go over and over it. Go back to it as many times as you can, even if you don't believe that someone can like a particular thing about you or you don't believe it exists, trust that your friend does see it and value it. When you start to hear critical voices inside your head, go back to those things your friend said or wrote about you and remember that you are loved. What do you think about that one?
I love that one, and actually that's one of the ones I use with my clients. It's a very, very good little exercise to get some self-love, self-lock going on. And I would add to that, make sure you don't ask someone that is negative in your life to let you know the good things. And what I always tell the women I work with, ask a very trusted, positive friends or professionals. You know, it could be a good friend you work with that knows your story. It could be a sister, anyone, someone that's positive in your life, some type of mentor-like person. I think that's an excellent way to get the ball started rolling, is to hear what other people see in you, because oftentimes we don't see those beautiful things within ourselves.
All right, the second thing that they suggest is to make a list of things that you like about yourself. Make a list of all the things you like about yourself. Be as honest as you can. Modesty doesn't help you here, neither do old critical messages. If you're having trouble finding things you value about yourself, think about the things you value and love in your friends. Then see if those things exist inside you too. Most often they do. fill a special notebook with your list or create a set of cards. Make the notebook as beautiful as you can. Make it something that makes you feel good when you look at it. Then open it up and look at it any time you're feeling down or critical about yourself, or any time anyone says anything that triggers your criticalness of yourself. Look at the good things about yourself book as frequently as you can. It may seem silly, but repetition really does make a difference. Just think of the impact one critical phrase said by a parent over and over to a child can have. It really does have an effect. Now try to give that child inside you at least one loving phrase about yourself that she can hold on to. All right, so what do you think about that tip?
Absolutely. I'm smiling because I also get my women to do little things like that. And, you know, these things sound so small and possibly insignificant to someone thinking, you know, there's no way this can work. But what I always tell women I work with, and for the women listening to our show, realize it's the small things that make a huge difference. Because if you start trying to do something huge and large, you're setting yourself up for failure sometimes. So do some of these small things, and they are so significant. And I tell people to get like a little pocket-size journal, notebook, whatever it may be, just something really small that they could either stick in their pocket or stick in their purse. And let that just be an ongoing thing that they always write in, and let them write something good. You know, if possibly they, I don't know, I'm trying to think of something really simple because I know it's really hard to love yourself when you first find out you're in a gay straight relationship or you're just trying to get out. So it could even be as simple as choosing a different type or a pretty odd color of nail polish that you wish you had tried before or something. It can be something that simple and put in there, I like my fingernails painted blue. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, just put something in there you like about yourself.
And I think that's the key word, to keep using that positive word, like.
Exactly.
You know, because once again, you have to really talk yourself into understanding that whole phrase of like.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this one now says, make it part of your daily routine to praise something in yourself or think about something you like about yourself. In this society, we're taught that praising ourselves is selfish and wrong. But praising ourselves for things that are good about ourselves only helps us. It is a healing thing to do, something that nourishes our self-worth. When we love ourselves, we're happier and more true to our own selves, and that happiness and ability to be free spreads to others. So try to think of something that you like about yourself or something that you did today that made you or someone feel good, no matter how small it may seem. Give yourself the kind of warm praise that you would a friend. What do you think of that one?
I think that's wonderful, and it's hard hearing it sometimes. That's about as hard as hearing is, you know, you can tell when someone is embarrassed to accept a compliment, you know, like if they say, oh, that's a beautiful dress you have on. Oftentimes, women I work with, they would say, oh, I've had this for years, it's nothing, it's no big deal. You know, when just
right,
wanting
like
to say
almost
thank
like
you.
A sense of embarrassment to accept
it
a compliment.
Is.
And
exactly.
Believe me, I lived like that for years. People would say to me, oh,
I
you look really pretty. And I would say, yeah, but, you know, I guess at my size, you know, I look pretty for, you know, being a fat woman or, you know, for my age, I guess that's what you mean. Instead of just saying thank you and accepting the compliment, we feel so defensive in having to defend, you know, that compliment, or we don't feel worthy of taking in that compliment. So I think that, you know, accepting compliments is one thing that you have to just learn how to say thank you. And I know it really is hard sometimes until you start feeling better about yourself.
Yeah, so start thanking yourself for something wonderful you did. Get used to that. And then notice someone gives you a compliment, practice just saying thank you. Smile and say thank you. Let it go with that.
All right, the next tip says, love yourself like a friend. Close your eyes and think of a person you deeply love and trust and who you know loves you, a friend, a lover. Think about all the things you love and appreciate about them. Notice how that love feels inside you and how good you feel. Now turn it around the other way. Be your friend, feeling that same deep love for you. Trust in their love for you and just feel it. Let yourself see yourself through gentle eyes with compassion and love the way your friend does. even if you can only do it for a moment. Now let yourself receive that love, the love you have as a friend to yourself. Feel the warmth move through you. Remember how it feels and come back for that love another time. How's that one?
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. And I think when you do that, when you can do that, try to act like you know, you're your own friend and be your own friend, I think you can look at yourself with a little bit more softer eyes, so to speak, and not trying to be so critical about yourself. And that's one thing in the journey of locking yourself. You've really got to cut that criticism, that inner critic. You've got to cut it down some notches.
All right. Next it says, make a note every time someone says something nice about you. Every time someone tells you something about yourself that makes you feel good, write it down or make a mental note and jot it down later. When you get home, put that note in a container of good things about me. Decorate the container however you like. Keep on adding notes and read them over and over every time you need a little boost, and even when you don't feel like you do. And I think, Misty, that's really similar to that, you know, jar that you talk about with the marbles. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. The jar of marbles, or it can be a jar of anything, is basically what you want to do is get a clear glass container of some sort of vessel. And every time you do something, every time you reach a goal or you do something nice for yourself, whatever it is you're working towards, or with this, let's make it relevant to this, every time you find something that you like about yourself or someone says something positive about you and you just say thank you, you know, drop some kind of little token into that clear vessel, whether it be a pretty rock, whether it be a seashell, whether it be a marble, or whether it be like a little glass pebble, those little stone-like things, whatever it is, and watch that jar grow. And it will grow. And it's really interesting because sometimes we need a tangible or physical reminder of something, and that will serve that purpose. And another thing that's really interesting, what you just described about the positive comments, I know a lot of people, excuse me, and I encourage a lot of people to do this as well, we sort of call it a blessing box in the field of therapy and counseling. And, you know, you just want to get a really pretty box and put things in there, whether it be email, someone sends you a really nice email, someone sends you a really positive card. I mean, this just needs to be your positivity box. It can be a text, for example, that you write out on paper. I mean, I save, I get texts from some dear friends of mine, and when it's really an uplifting text, I don't erase it. I just keep it on my cell phone because I enjoy it. So anything like that that makes you feel good about yourself, write it down and put it in that box. And keep that box handy so you can pull things from that box. So I think that's a wonderful idea, and I encourage a lot of people to do that. Matter of fact, I have one of my own. So it's something that works, and it's enjoyable.
Yeah, I really like that message box idea. And also, like I say, the stones or the shells, you know, you can buy them in the dollar store, you know, really pretty colored stones or shells. And I know a very dear friend of mine who, you know, I taught her this technique that I learned from you, and she really does this, you know, when she's feeling down. And for everything she feels an accomplishment for, and it could be the simplest little thing, you know, she's putting a stone in, I deserve it. And, you know, she watches this, the jar fills up, she really does start feeling better about herself. So we're not saying that every technique works for everyone, but there's enough ideas here that something's going to work for you. The next tip says, have compassion for yourself. If you're feeling really judgmental about something you've done or said, try to understand where the judgment is coming from. Not the immediate surface answer, but an answer deep down inside of you. Are you afraid of something? Are you feeling insecure? Do you think you did something wrong? Or are you hearing the judgment of a voice from your past? Try to connect to that little kid inside of you who's feeling that way, and really listen to how she or he is feeling. Hug and reassure that kid and let her know that she didn't do anything wrong and that you love her. You can also think of a friend having acted as you did. Imagine how you'd feel towards them, how you'd still love them and readily forgive them if there was anything to forgive. You probably wouldn't even find it bothersome. Try to feel that same love and compassion for yourself. What about that?
Yes, I think that's good advice. That reminds me of a project, another little project or activity I've worked with women on is to, you know, sometimes to love ourselves. We really, not sometimes, I'm going to say almost all the time, to love ourselves, we've got to begin some sort of type of forgiveness. And when I say forgiveness, I mean with myself. I had to forgive myself for getting into this relationship I had with my ex-husband and staying in the relationship for so long. It had nothing to do with him. It had to do with me. I had to forgive myself because I knew deep down things were not right, and I didn't deserve it, yet I did, and I stayed, and I stayed, and I stayed. And one thing that I learned, and I've helped other women do this, and it's very helpful, sounds very simple once again, and you will even feel so silly doing this, but it's very helpful for most women. Find a picture of yourself. Find a picture of yourself when you're, you know, you're being critical of yourself. For example, let's say that you've had bad relationships with your parents and take it back that far. You know, when did that begin? When did that criticism begin? Well, find a school age, like an elementary school age picture of yourself and put it on your refrigerator. Or another time would be with myself. I had to forgive myself from the point in time that I entered into the marriage and stayed there. So mine would have been like a, you know, late high school picture or early college picture. Put something like that on the refrigerator. And every time you notice that picture, and it could be anywhere. Some people may choose to put it like on their bathroom mirror, somewhere you're going to see it daily. Look at that person and just, you know, let them know that you love them or you like them. If love is too strong, I like you. And just say, you know, you did the best you could do. And you'll notice that the dialogue will start changing. It will get more in depth. And it's really interesting how the dialogue with that will evolve. And just talk to yourself, that former self that you were in the past. And it's really interesting how that can open some floodgates of forgiveness for yourself.
Well, that leads to the next point here. It says, recognize that love has to come from you. If you're a survivor of child abuse or come from a dysfunctional family, you may still be waiting for a parent to give you the love and acceptance you never got as a child. But the kind of love you need or needed as a child probably isn't going to come from a parent who abused you or who looked the other way while you were being abused. But it can come from yourself. It can be hard to give it to yourself at first. After all, if you didn't receive love as a child, or if some of that love was torn away from you by violence, self-hate may have built up inside of you. But you have the courage and strength to love yourself if you survived this long, and you do deserve it. So try to connect to that little child inside, that child who deserves all your love and acceptance. What do you think of that?
Absolutely. Absolutely, I agree with it.
Okay, the next thing it says, use affirmations. I know this sounds corny, but if you hear good things about yourself over and over, you can't help but to have some of it sink in. Write out a strong, loving thing to say to yourself, even if you don't fully believe them. Here are some examples. I utterly and completely deserve love and kindness. I am a very lovable person. I am kind, compassionate, intelligent, and wise. Or you can substitute the loving words that feel best, that best suit you. Now put up those affirmations in places where you can see them every day. On the refrigerator, on the bathroom mirror, or your bedside table next to your favorite chair, with on the kitchen wall next to where you cook your food and eat a meal. Don't forget to read them. If you're not comfortable having them up in such public places, then write out a bunch of them or copy a few and put them in places you'll find them, like in your jacket or jeans pocket, a book you're reading, a favorite book, in your desk drawer, or in your clothes. They're little love notes to yourself. In fact, you may want to do both things, have them up and also in hidden places where you'll find them. When you read an affirmation, read it slowly and really let yourself feel it. Just don't say it by rote. Try to let yourself be there as fully as you can. That's a good idea, right?
Oh, yes, and I have to say, the affirmations absolutely pulled me through. This was before I knew you, Bonnie. This was before I knew about your support group. This was before that the internet was so popular with Google, you know, where you could almost go to Google and find anything when I was going through my divorce and having all that, you know, discovery process, learning that my now ex-husband was gay. And I will have to say someone gave me a book about, and it was a dear cousin of mine, Vicki gave me a book about affirmations. It changed my life. That's really what helped pull me through because I didn't have any other support. I didn't know who to go to. These things were not talked that much about, you know, 11, 12 years ago. So I firmly believe in affirmations, strongly, strongly believe, because once you say it enough, you start believing it. It changes your thought process. It really does. And I would write them up on my bathroom mirror. I would put them on my refrigerator. I would, and I would even just, when I would get down, I would go buy flowers for myself. And like I think this is very pertaining to tomorrow, Valentine's Day. You know, go buy your own flowers. Love yourself and to buy them for yourself.
You know, yeah, make your day a beautiful day for you, right?
You know, do it for yourself. I'll be buying, you know, some for me and my family tomorrow. So, you know, do it for yourself. Deserve it. Don't wait on others. You know, learn to love yourself and be fulfilled.
All right. This one says, recognize self-critical messages and talk to them. It's easy to let old critical voices and messages that we heard as a child play over and over and over in our minds without stopping them. Often we may barely recognize that they are there, or we really don't listen to them. We've heard them so often, but they continue to impact how we feel and think about ourselves. Try noticing next time you hear a small or very loud voice inside your head criticize you. Be aware of what it is saying to you and try to talk to it. Ask it why it feels the need to say those things. Is that part of you trying to protect some childlike logic? Or perhaps that part of you felt it had to take on the messages you heard as a kid. Remind that part of you that you no longer need to do that to survive. You are free to make up your own mind about yourself. So I think that's really a good point also. And it goes into the next one on how to counteract negative or critical thoughts about yourself. Write down all the negative or critical thoughts and messages you hear inside your head. See, and, you know, with our wives, a lot of times we hear those critical messages.
Oh,
how
yes.
was I so stupid? How couldn't I see this? Why didn't I understand that? Why did I let this,
everything
you know.
Everything's my fault. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all these, you know, coulda, shoulda, woulda. Mm-hmm. But see if you can figure out who said them first to you or something of that nature, then write out a response that counteracts each of those messages, but one by one. Make the counter messages as strong and loving as you can. If you're having trouble writing out the counter messages, see if you can connect to a deep, wise part inside of you. Or write out what you would say to a friend if a friend said those things to you or him, you know, to you about him or herself. So I think that's really true. You have to really look at those negative messages you give yourself if you're ever going to change them and start to eliminate them, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, what happens is, and this is my theory, when you get rid of the critical self-talk, meaning, you know, stop yourself from it, you know, and you'll learn to better control it as you put more positive things into your mind and body. And when you start releasing more of those negative and critical thoughts, it gives you room to let the love build for yourself. It clears space, so to speak, in your mind. And it's very helpful to get rid of that negative.
That's a great concept.
Mm-hmm.
How about do comforting and nurturing things for yourself? Allow yourself to do comforting and nurturing things for yourself. Let yourself feel good when you feel, and let yourself feel how good you feel when you do those things. Excuse me, and tell yourself that you deserve to feel that way to feel good. Gradually, you'll find that more nurturing and comforting times you have, the more you'll seek them out, and they will help build a good feeling inside of you. And then it says, ask yourself what you need to do. This is how it ends. Some of these things will work really well for you while others may not quite fit you. So take a moment to get quiet and ask yourself, what can I do to help myself feel more compassion and love towards myself? Don't force an answer. Just let the answer bubble up inside of you. If you find it hard to hear the answer that way, try writing out your question and then your answer. See what you can come up with. You know what works best for you and you have great wisdom inside of you. Above all, have compassion for yourself and for where you are at. Remember that you are a truly lovable person and that you deserve only kind treatment, especially from yourself. So that was good, right?
Absolutely. I think that's a great article, and that's mostly, in a nutshell, I do a lot of those things with a lot of the women I work with. And, of course, everyone is different. I like how the article ends in saying, you know, as a life coach and therapist, I also believe everyone's their own best expert. But as a life coach and therapist, I help them find what works best for them. So I tell people, you know, that gives them their power. And, you know, you have to ask yourself, what works best for me? And you know yourself better than anyone else. So I think that's very sound advice. And don't try to do everything at once. Do a small thing at a time, because you'll get more results out of doing something small than taking on 10 things and just setting yourself up for failure and not to complete any of them and feeling worse.
Well, also, Misty, I looked back, because I always like to look back to my past things about, you know, thoughts I have about Valentine's Day, because I'm a very strong believer that Valentine's Day is such an important day to all women.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a day when women can really feel injured at this time of year, when they see that it's a holiday of hearts and flowers, and no matter how much we keep saying, love yourself, the reality is many of our women feel very bad at this time of year because, you know, they're either in a bad marriage, ending a marriage, ending the dreams they had hoped for in a good marriage, you know, facing the reality.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted to read one, let's see, this is from a newsletter I wrote in 2003 from The Message back then. And it says, Happy Valentine's Day to all my girlfriends. It's that painful time of year again for many women who are presently married to gay men or still recovering from the aftermath of their gay husbands, namely Valentine's Day. I don't forget the sting of that day that stung me so many times in subsequent years of my life while my heart was frozen in the void status. I was always a romantic that thrived on being in love. Excuse me. But through the years of my marriage to my gay husband and the recovery years that followed, it was like that Gershwin tune that goes, they're writing songs of love, but not for me. For those of you who are still struggling in your marriage, Valentine's Day always falls short of your expectations. Some of you have not lost your enthusiasm. You've made all the plans in your head for a fantasy that never comes true. You plan a romantic evening with a beautiful home-cooked dinner of his favorite food. You psych yourself up for that yearly hope that the hearts of the day will make your husband's heart change and create an evening of passion. After the anticipation builds through the day, the reality becomes the goodnight peck on the cheek intermingled with the words, I love you, and off to bed he goes, meaning off to sleep, not sex. I wish I would have known through those lonely years what I learned later in life. It would have lessened the stabbing pain at the end of the evening and the tears that left my pillowcase soggy. Here's the message. Don't lose your hope for romance or passion. They are both somewhere in your future. That's the good news. The part of you that doesn't have to die at all, no matter how much your gay husband wishes it would. You see, to him, it's a major pain in the neck. Every time you get those touchy-feely urges to go touching and feeling him, it gives him the willies. Yikes, what's the new excuse of the day going to be? How many headaches, toothaches, ulcers, depressions, and exhaustion excuses does he have to come up with? It's such a nuisance. The other good news is that there's someone out there waiting for you for your love. It's not going to be your husband, so you can put that thought out of your mind. But your soulmate is out there looking for you. I believe that. I see it happen over and over and over again. It happened to me when I had written off the possibility. Women whose hearts have been deadened through the lack of nurturing by gay men who are not capable of giving it, one day have their hearts awakened again by straight men who knows what it means to be loved equally and unconditionally. And no one is happier than me when I hear from a woman who was born again after being buried under for years. I cheer my girlfriends and applaud their courage in coming alive again. I tell them, go for it. I've watched the transition of some of my wonderful women in our online support group this year. I've seen women who never felt that love would ever come their way again feel their hearts flutter. Even if things didn't work out, they didn't retreat or give up. I tell them to keep practicing for the real thing. Practice makes perfect. For most women, it's been so long since they've been around straight men, they've forgotten what to do. That's where the practice comes in. If any of my readers would like to share their stories or feelings of coming alive again, please send them to me. And then, you know, I publish some of them after that. But that's really true, even all these years later. And, you know, I think that we've seen so many happy endings that have come about in this last year of women who are moving forward, who are leaving their broken hearts behind, and who are starting life again, and some who have found really wonderful relationships. We try to share those stories with you and bring women onto our show, like Dr. Francine Barbetta and our friend Rhonda. You know, women who have really given up on love after bad marriages, and they found it again. They remarried again. They're happy again. So you can never give up hope, and I think that's really the message that we're trying to get out there on this Valentine's Day. Also, Misty, I don't know if you realize it, but I was looking back in our February newsletter from last year. This makes 1 year of our radio show. Happy anniversary, Misty.
Thank you. Happy anniversary to you. Wow.
We have to do something to celebrate our one-year anniversary.
We do. That is, wow, time does go by fast. That is unbelievable.
And, you know, it's so nice how the show has really built up. You know, I hear from women all over the world, not just in the country, that this is a lifeline for them because they do feel isolated and alone.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that our listenership, you know, we have several thousand listeners every month, which is a wonderful thing, that, you know, people are able to access our show, and not just our women friends, but also our gay male friends that also find support through this show. So I think that, you know, it doesn't seem like it's been a year, does it?
It does not. Not at all. That's unbelievable. If you would ask me after all a few months, you know, I had no idea it had been that long. That's wonderful. I'm just so glad we can reach out to other people, and I'm so glad that you've got the special guest coming on to tell their side, because all these things that we bring to the show, it's all things that I know would have helped me way back early on. So I'm going to thank you, and I'm going to thank myself.
Mm-hmm.
And being proper with what we've just heard tonight and read about all these affirmations, for bringing this to women around the world. You know, I know we need this information out there.
Yes, and if any of you have any comments or questions, you know, please feel free to write to me at bondk@aol.com. And also, not sure if I mentioned it on the show last week, but I've just had an upgrade in my website at gayhusbands.com. And I really like the new look. I've gotten some wonderful feedback, and maybe you can take time to look at it. I've really updated a lot of the information, including the gay husband checklist that's on there, thanks to a lot of things that you've taught me about signs to look for, and also really good information for men who are looking to come out to their wives, and I work with many of these men. I refer so many of them to my dear friend Doug, who really helps them in their quest for coming out. And, you know, this is just really what I call, you know, it's a very sad situation for everyone involved. The important thing is to try to move ahead, realize that, you know, a mistake can be corrected, and to try to, you know, take back your life so that you can have a quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the message that we most want to bring to you on Valentine's Day, that you can be happy even if you're not happy now. That doesn't mean you have to stay unhappy. Gay husband recovery is a process. If you've left your marriage, you have to go through the whole mourning period. But even after you've finished mourning, there are so many issues that we have to contend with as wives of gay men. And, you know, the scarring is always there. I mean, it's not like it doesn't leave residual scarring, because it does. And women come to us 10 years later, 20 years later, and they're still having, you know, different things that come back to them after all those years because there were problems that were never resolved. So we don't want you to feel ever that you have to do it alone. You can write to me, and Misty has her website at mistyhall.com, MISTIHALL.com. And whatever we can do to give you support in this transition, that's what we're here for. So, Misty, I think my time is running out before my technical difficulties are going to start and everything's going to be shut off in my house. I see them walking around here with the lights and the trucks outside.
Okay.
So
well, please,
is there anything else you would like to say?
No, happy Valentine's Day. Love yourself on this great Valentine's Day. Start that process of self-love. Get committed to loving yourself. Good night and love to all.
All right. Good night, everybody. And please stay tuned in next week for our special show with a couple of wonderful gay men that, you know, I'm sure you'll feel very compelled to hear their story. Take care and happy Valentine's Day to all, and especially to you, Misty.
Thank you. Thank you. And
you can be my Valentine anytime. How's that?
Yeah, oh, that sounds wonderful. And you as well. Same to you, dear. Happy Valentine's Day.
All right. Love you.
Love you. Bye-bye.